I think in this second half, rather than discuss Joel's chapter right now, we'd be a lot wiser to emphasize certain passages in the Bible to make clear that it is our destiny and our responsibility to know who we are. And those who have attained this consciousness before us have left us a pathway to assure that we're not taking on an identity that is not true, or that we're not being immodest, that the light of God is really the truth of our being, that anything less is non-life. We have the authority of the Word of God in the Bible for the direction that we are now taking. In Proverbs, 22nd verse begins as follows. When there were, the Lord possessed me in the beginning of his way, before the works of old. I was set up from everlasting, from the beginning, forever the earth was. You see now how John is confirming this with the spirit of his own being? When there were no depths, I was brought forth. When there were no fountains abounding with water, before the mountains were settled, before the hills was I brought forth. When he prepared the heavens, I was there. When he set a compass upon the face of the depth. Now it should be clear to all of us that this, in Proverbs, is the story of pre-existence to form. That it wasn't known only to John or to Jesus, but rather the prophets of old all knew the fact that before the form was, I am. Jesus was the one who demonstrated it. But the voice of prophecy, the Christ consciousness of those who had the Word, all established not only the man Jesus, and this is the point, and that's why you're not waiting for the second coming. The point is that before the world was, I am, is the story of every man on this earth. And you wouldn't hear these words in the Bible unless it was so, because they're not coming from Christ Jesus now. This is in Proverbs. Now we go to Isaiah, who also stated that before the world was, I am. In the 9th chapter, verse 6, unto us a child is born. Unto us a child is given. You see now, that child, that son, is mistaken to be Jesus. It isn't. It's the Word of God, Christ. That's the Son. Unto us a son is given, and that son is the Christ of God. And it is your name. The universal Christ is your name. The Son of God is the universal Christ. God doesn't have a finite son. That which is the Son of God is that which issues from God. What issues from God is infinite. The infinite Christ is the Son of God. Unto us a child is born, means Christ. Unto us a son is given, and the government shall be on his shoulders. The government is on the shoulders of Christ. Christ does the thinking. Christ does the doing. Christ is the activity of God. His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. This is Isaiah announcing the identity of every man, the living Son of the living God. John himself later caught it in his first epistle, 1 John, 5th chapter, 11th verse. This is the record that God has given to us eternal life. You see, the Son of God, the Christ in you, is that eternal life. God has given to you eternal life as the Christ. And this life is in you, his Son. Now why would you want less? if that's what you were given? Why would you accept less? Why would we accept a limited lifespan if God has given us Christ's identity, which is the unlimited eternal life of God? How foolish of us to be striving to make a happy lifespan when Christ is already happy, or to improve ourselves when Christ is already perfect. The acceptance of ourself, you see, does instantly all the things we've been trying to do with mental and physical powers. Instead of knowing that neither by might nor by power, but by my spirit, which is your substance, your name, your identity. And then we learn, and he that hath the Son hath life. He who accepts Christ's identity hath life. And he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things have I written to you that believe on the Son of God. And the name of the Son of God is the word Christ. If you believe on the name of the Son of God, you say, I am that Christ. But I am not something else. I'm not a lifespan. I'm not a beginning and an end. I'm not a material being. I'm not subject to material law. I am that invisible self called Christ, which is the Son, the life of God. I am that now. And I must live in that consciousness until that becomes the force that lives itself as me. And Christ liveth my life. I have said these things. I have written unto you that you may know that ye have eternal life, that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God as your identity. And now Paul tells us in his letter to the Philippians that when Jesus accepted this identity, it may have been mistaken by some of the Pharisees that he was being immodest. Second chapter, fifth verse. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God... Now, how could Jesus be in the form of God except as the Christ, meaning in the likeness, the divine image? Being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. You know, you have thought it robbery to be equal with God. And you thought so because you were not accepting Christ's identity. But Christ is equal with God. For Christ is the expression of God. And you must be equal with God. To be less is to deny your own identity. You must establish this in your consciousness until you believe that you are equal with God. You are rejecting that you are the Son, the Christ, the invisible self, the Word made flesh. Don't think the Word is going to be made flesh. It is. It is already made flesh where you are. It dwells among you. But the darkness comprehendeth not the light. That which is not real cannot understand reality. The sense man does not comprehend his own reality. See that? Again, to be sure that we do not mistake his intention. In Hebrews 2, 11th verse, we find, for both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all of one. For which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren. So you find Christ Jesus calling them brethren, recognizing that they are the same life that he is, equal with God, joint heirs with Christ. And now we're no longer talking of a man. We're talking of the universal Christ, which Jesus realized himself to be. And when he realized himself to be the universal Christ, he wasn't Jesus anymore. When you realize yourself to be the universal Christ, that's who you are. And you're out of the old concept of mortality, though you still continue to appear in it. But your consciousness of that Christ becomes a power of grace unto you. Now let's go over to Romans 1:3. Here Paul establishes the mortality of Jesus. Now this is very important to us because I am a mortal being. As I step out of the womb of my mother, and as I grow up in a sense of mortality, I am just the same as a Jesus growing up. Now here's what Paul says. This is the nature of every man. In other words, he is a mortal Jesus, every man. And just as a mortal Jesus steps out of being Jesus, so must the mortal, us, step out of being mortal. Now here it is, Romans 1:3. Concerning his son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, which is made of the seed of David, according to the flesh. Now there's nothing divine about that. Made of the seed of David first, and then, overcoming the belief that he was of the seed of David. You're made of the seed. You overcome the belief that you're of that seed. You overcome the sense of mortality, which is almost like the sense of gravity pulling a person down. Mortality, like gravity, is there. But it isn't there. It only seems to be. And when you break it, you find you can fly an airplane. When you break the sense of mortality, you find that you are immortal being. Now let's go to Peter, 1 Peter. We find more about rebirth there. And all of this is by way of showing us that little thread of truth in the Bible that is taking us to our real self. Here we are, verse 22, first chapter. Seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth, which is the acceptance of Christ's self, through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but to incorruptible. And this is the reborn consciousness. First the consciousness of human need, and then reborn out of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man is a flower of grass. The grass withereth, the flower thereof falleth away, but the word of God endureth forever. You see, the word of God that endureth forever is your identity, your eternal life. The flesh is like grass. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. You can see we have the authority to accept our identity, to call each other brothers in Christ, or Christ, to be equal with God, meaning to be of his spirit. To be of his spirit is to be equal with God. You see that? You cannot be matter and of his spirit. You cannot be matter and be equal with God. You cannot be matter and be the living word. You cannot be matter and be incorruptible seed. Again, Isaiah 56:5. Even unto them will I give in mine house, and within my walls, a place and a name better than of sons and of daughters, meaning mortal sons. And I will give them an everlasting name that shall not be cut off. You know it. The everlasting name has been given to you. Your own identity, Christ. Galatians. Paul gets the picture now. Let's see this third chapter. I think it's 26th verse. Yes. For ye are all children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. And that means that what he demonstrated, that mortal Jesus, the seed of David, could walk the earth as the immortal Christ. Now that's your faith in Christ. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. You see, once you accept that name, you are the incorruptible seed. But you must reject that which is the corruptible and know that it is but the mesmerized concept entertained about the reality of you. There's neither Greek nor Jew nor Greek. There's neither bond nor free. There's neither male nor female, for ye are all one in Christ Jesus. And if ye be Christ's, then are ye Abraham's seed, and heirs according to the promise. In the Bible, the name Israel means Christ, Son of God. Wherever you see Israel in the Bible, it's really telling you that's the identity of the Christ man. The Christ man is Israel, and that's why Israel is called mine elect. It's the one invisible Son of God on earth, which is the identity of both the Greek and Jew, both male and female, both bond and free. There's no one on earth who isn't this identity right now, but few will claim it, and few will live it. Again, Galatians, the fourth chapter, fourth verse. But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, and under the law. The invisible soul expression appears to us in time as a person called Jesus, made of a woman under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. In other words, to set an example, to show you to do it, that you might receive the adoption of sons, that you might walk the path. You see, there had to be the invisible expression of Spirit made visible as an example, so that those of us who are faint-hearted would see something to follow, would have something in front of us to identify with. As John could identify with Jesus, and as Paul could identify with Jesus, as in our own time we can identify with whomever we feel has the word. As you may feel, you can identify with Joel. And as he could come into the word because of Christ's acceptance and make his transition, so can you, so can I, come into the word, Christ's acceptance, and pass through the valley of the shadow of death, untouched, never having to come forth again in the corruptible seed of flesh. Wherefore, because ye are sons, God hath sent forth the Spirit of the Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore, thou art no more a servant, but a son. As mortals, we are servants of karmic law. As Christ, we are a son, and as a son, then an heir through Christ. Isaiah, chapter 40, fifth verse. The glory of the Lord shall be revealed. All flesh shall see it together. For the mouth of the Lord hath spoken. Now this isn't Isaiah speaking. This is Christ speaking, saying that all flesh shall be Christed. Because it is already. That which isn't will drop away. This is the preview of Christ consciousness on earth. And in 1 Timothy, I think we may have the total summary of it all. If I can find 1 Timothy... This is called the mystery of godliness. Third chapter, 16th verse. I think I have it. Verse 16, third chapter. Yes. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. Now that really is the story of your life. Because we must build the consciousness of grace. Because the human mind cannot accept Christ. Even if you were willing and tried with the human mind to accept Christhood, you cannot. We must come to that place where the consciousness of grace is built up through daily acts of awareness of the presence of Christ where you stand. Day by day, every single day, that increasing Christ awareness will dissolve the John the Baptist in you. That self which still eats wild honey, still wears rough clothing, still believes in two powers. That self which doesn't know that only God is power, and there's no power to change that power. That self which doesn't know that only God is life, there's no other life to be concerned about. That's the John the Baptist in us. Even when we're dedicated to the Bible, you can be sure he was dedicated to the God that he knew. And so he came to show the way, to announce that the light was coming, to prepare us for the light. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light. Now the light that he was announcing, which finally manifested to human eyes as Christ Jesus, that light was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. Now how could we overlook that? How can anyone profess to be waiting for the second coming? That light lighteth every man. You must accept that Christ is here. There must be a consciousness accepting Christ is here. This is Christ's life here now. The invisible earth is Christ's life here now. The kingdom is at hand now, not from hence. That light lighteth every life that cometh into the world. He was in the world. The world was made by him, and the world knew him not. The invisible Christ is the genuine, the only. And the world we entertain as the world, it says it was made by him, because we entertain a concept of the invisible Christ, and this concept becomes our world. And that world, which is the imitation of Christ, knows not the Christ it is imitating. The world knows him not. We, as human beings, do not know our own self. So he came unto his own, and his own received him not. Christ comes to you, and you turn away. You turn away from who? You turn away from you. Because this fellow here, this mortal self, this perishable self, this corruptible seed, this one, born of David, or Mary, or John, or whoever, this one, born of the human selfhood, turns away from itself. And that's the height of human folly. While the invisible self of you stands there, the concept runs around in a dream world. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. The moment we accept and renounce that which we are not, Christ in you becomes the power of the Son of God. Accepting what you are, renouncing what you are not. You can see the acceptance is the only way to build your consciousness. And then, which were born, not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man. You see, this is the rebirth. The corruptible seed, born of the will of parents, now realizes why that's only the form. The spiritual self wasn't born of the will of parents. It preceded the appearance of parents on the earth. They too are the invisible spirit that I am. This is the rebirth, the second birth. And the second birth is simply the realization that I always am. I am that spirit which never was born in the womb. I am that spirit which was before the world was and is now. The rebirth, the second birth, is the acceptance of your original self as the one self, the now self. Jesus did it, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory of the Christ. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father. That's the glory of the Christ. Now, who is the only begotten? The Christ of God, which went forth and showed the mighty works, full of grace and of truth. Christ in you is the grace and the truth which goes before you to do the mighty works. That's the prologue to John, the overture, the synopsis. And as you watch Christ Jesus move as the only begotten, knowing that you're looking at yourself, remember that. We're going to see Christ Jesus move through the Bible, but that is not Christ Jesus alone. That is the only begotten appearing as. And you're looking at the only begotten, and you are the only begotten. And when you know that, there'll be a spark in you responding to your own being, and you will multiply yourself. This is the theme we're moving into. All of this John saw as the reason for the great demonstration on earth by the great teacher. He had overcome personal self. He had overcome mortality, false concepts. And he gave everyone else the priceless gift of knowing who they were. To each he nodded and said, Abba, Father, there goes my own Christ self. And as he nodded, inwardly, to each Christ self, so do we. As he nodded inwardly to the invisible Christ of the storm, the sea subsided. And so too, as you find Christ self in yourself, learn to stand in Christ self, nodding to Christ self everywhere, you too will watch the storm subside. You will watch the illusions of the world lose their power. You'll be moving in the one, invisible, infinite power of the one being, which is the living Christ of you and him and me right here. That's why we're called the light of the world. Then we are one being in Christ, the Word of God expressing. The way shower and the way become one and the same. Now that's our path. Each one will take it in his own way. The goal is set. The goal is clear. We all have the background. Your many years in metaphysical work, all the background of Joel's great work, all the understanding that we've been able to cram into our years. And yet all of that is as nothing compared to the one realization. Where I stand, where you stand, is Christ. Let Christ be your mind, your soul, your body, yourself, your power. And then Christ will be the grace of God functioning where we stand. Until next week, thank you very much.